This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 230 for the weekend of May 8th through May 10th. This is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. After, I think I'm in the show over 100 times, and I still struggle to remember the right intro there. So, yes, welcome to this edition of Backseat Box Office. Art, how are you doing?
I am doing great.
All right, so we're gonna get this out right at the beginning. We are going to spoil Avengers 2 Age of Ultron. So I'm thinking that maybe we're going to talk about the beginning of the show. Maybe, what do you think? You think they should still listen to the episode if they haven't seen it?
No. I'm just going to say no. Unless spoilers don't bother you at all, no.
All right. So yeah, we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff, and we are not going to hold back as far as spoilers. We might get excited, might get explicit. Who knows what's gonna happen? So with that, let me find the tab that has last week's box office results. Oh, here we go. All right, so here are last week's box office results. For the weekend of May 1st through May 3rd, we have Avengers: Age of Ultron coming in at $191.2 million. We have Furious 7 coming in at 2. With $6.6 million. At number 3, we have The Age of Adeline at $6.2 million. We have at number 4, Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2, at $5.9 million. And at number 5, we have Home, which came in at $3.5 million. And there is your top 5. Art, what do you think?
So, Avengers Age of Ultron underperformed. I mean, well, at least underperformed our expectations. So the first Avengers, what we talked about, it was like 225, 230, somewhere around there.
Talking about
it, so I upped it a little and said 250, and you went whole hog and said, I'm sorry, what did I say? The first Avengers.
Yeah, first Avengers had 207.4 million.
207, okay. I knew it was two something. So you said 300, and it didn't. This is an underperformance, which is really, well, I mean, it's a slow opener. We'll see how it continues over the next few weeks, especially when we talk about what it's going to be up against next week. So, yeah, I can see this staying number one for 3, maybe 4 weeks, maybe more.
Yeah, so Box Office Mojo, in their recap for last weekend's box office, was talking about why they couldn't exceed the first Avengers. 207.4 million. And one of the main reasons is that there was a lot going on Saturday. And it seems, you know, there are other sporting events and other entertainment events going on other movies all the time. But we had the Kentucky Derby. We also had the Clippers versus Spurs Game 7. I watched neither of those things, but I know that they're a thing for some people. But one thing that was kind of a big deal was the Pacquiao Mayweather fight.
Oh yeah, that happened.
Because usually, if there's a fight, people are paying to watch that, and it costs you, I think, $100 to watch that fight. And also, with a sequel, now this is the second time that we're going to see all five, you know, Avengers together. Who knows? And let me see if I could find. They talked about. So they talked about the audience was 59% male and 59% over the age of 25. And it got an A cinema score. In comparison, the first Avengers receive an A+. Here, hold on. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, here we go. Domestically, Ultron's $187.7 million debut accounted for 85% of the top 12 box office this weekend, which is a new record ahead of Spider-Man's 383%. The movie earned a bit more than the first Avengers on Friday, but its $57.2 million Saturday was 18% lower.
Mm-hmm.
So it, you know, there was a big gap created on that Saturday. So still, we're not gonna cry for Disney slash Marvel.
No, not even a little bit.
But I also saw on another website talking about how you know, the kids aren't going to the movies as much anymore. So maybe that, you know, in the 18 to 25,
Right.
or even young, you know, even the younger demographic maybe didn't go. I know for my demographic, it was me and my son that went. So yeah, you know, the funny thing about the Pacquiao Mayweather fight was there was one thing I noticed at the theater that I went to, that there was a lot of families that went. And I didn't see, you know, not the profile or anything, but I don't think I saw a lot of nerds in the theater. I saw a lot of Ed Hardy type people. And there was these two dads in front of me that for like 10 minutes they talked about the fight and then the Kentucky Derby. Well, I think at this point we're going to transition from talking about box office. So let's talk about Avengers 2: Age of Ultron. Art, do you want to start? Or would you like me to start?
No, I'll go ahead and I'll start.
Okay.
I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. It was everything I wanted it to be. We went and I told you we sat down and we watched Avengers with Aubrey. So we asked her if she wanted to go see this movie, and I showed her the preview, and she was all in. She could not stop talking about going to see the movie. We get there. And we're about 45 minutes in, and she is bored out of her mind. So I gave my wife the key. I said, "You can go home, come back and get me, whatever you want to do, go over to McDonald's play place." You know, she's like, "Yeah, we'll go out." So I stayed and watched the movie, and they went back outside. So between two adults, one child, a bucket of popcorn and two drinks, I spent $30 to watch Avengers by myself. No regrets. I felt sad for Brittany. But she's like, no, you stay, you watch this. And I was like, okay. So I owe her an extra Mother's Day present this weekend. So yeah, that was it was interesting, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. There's so much I want to say, but I'm just going to start there and let you get some of your whatever you have to say in.
I enjoyed it. I have to admit that I was a tad disappointed
Okay.
with
What were you?
I wasn't 100% behind the love story between Black Widow and Hulk.
Okay.
Now, I thought that this would be a point, or the I'm sorry, we would be at the point with Hulk that he has a handle on changing between Banner and Hulk.
Right.
Because at the end of the first movie, he kind of turned into him at will,
Right.
kind of thing. And, you know, I realize they're kind of trying to go with a different, like a split personality type of thing,
Yeah.
where one personality doesn't like the other personality kind of thing.
And that's very much how it's been, like, portrayed that way in
Right.
the whole puny Banner thing is a thing that's been, in the comics,
Yeah, there's no fan service with me because all I've really known about Hulk I saw in the original Secret Wars and that was it.
Okay.
And then the other part about Hawkeye having a family.
That was interesting.
Now, I was applying Walking Dead rules to Avengers because as soon as they show someone having something to live for, he's dead. So I just thought Joss was t telling us that he's going to die. And it was kind of a nice curveball when he almost died,
Yeah.
but someone sacrificed himself to make sure that Hawkeye and the kid he was trying to save, you know, made
Yeah.
it through. And
And I think I remember saying who I thought might die. And I said the twins could be, they could be like, "Hey, we don't really need these guys because they're tied up in another property. That makes them somewhat expendable." And one of them got expended.
Yeah, well, I mean, some people are saying that, you know, Quicksilver, because he can, because he's been in two movies, and I don't know if he, you know, if he's allowed to be in other movies after this one. Who knows how all that works? But what did you think about Aaron Taylor Johnson as Quicksilver?
I thought he did a fine job. I thought the characters were portrayed well. I thought they had, you know, strong motivations for why they were doing what they were doing, and then they had good reasons. They had a good reason for turning when they turned back. You know,
right.
So they were believable. You know, they didn't want to. They weren't, you know, mustache twirling villains who just wanted to see the world burn. They wanted revenge for something that happened to them. You know, very specifically. And then when they realized that, you know, what they had wrought, they decided that was not what they wanted.
Yeah, and Joss had said that he had to kill somebody because there, you know, you can't show war and have everyone come out clean.
Right.
Because that's not what war is, kind of thing. So, you know, as we kind of walk through the movie, so what did you think of the first act?
I thought it was good. I thought, how they jumped right into the action. You know, it started up so suddenly. You know, I had Brittany leaning over to me like, "What's going on?" You know, what? You know, I'm like, "You got to listen. You got to pay attention." You know, they said it's a Hydra base. They said, you know, blah 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 blah. You know, I'm like, "You got to really pay attention. It's all there, but it's coming at you fast." And yeah, I enjoyed it. I do see what you say about the Hulk. And having, you know, I guess more control of himself.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very big part of this movie, of him, you know, just kind of lashing out. And I thought the how Scarlet Witch was handled. I mean, you know, that's not really her power set, but, you know, what they set her up as. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed how, you know, she manipulated them and got them to do things they wouldn't normally do.
Something that was weird about Scarlet Witch was, okay, they can't say that she's a mutant.
Right.
So basically she got her powers by experimentation by Hydra.
Yes.
But it seems like that she can do a lot, and there might have had to have been a lot of training on being able to do those kind of things. And from a consumer who's watching a superhero movie, I hate the mind control story. Now, I understand we got a lot of great things that come out of that, but I don't know. It's I'm just not a fan of you know, the whole mind control thing.
Okay.
I
feel like it was mind control. I felt like it was more like, I think she was manipulating people into, I don't know, more like giving them a push in a direction they might already be willing to go. But
yeah. I'm not saying it's like, you know, Professor Xavier mind control kind of thing, where he can actually move people around kind of thing. But that whole thing where she can just wave her hand and then people are starting to do weird things.
I don't know.
I just had a minor distaste that they're not letting her do what the comic Scarlet Witch could do.
But I need
to stop bringing that into the movie.
Yeah. I wonder, I've never read, I don't know what, if her power set is any different in the Ultimates universe. Because a lot of times, you know, what they've been drawing from, a lot of it has come from that side of the comics. I mean, it's come from a lot of different areas, but I feel like a lot of it has come from what's come in the Ultimates. And I wonder if her power set might be a little different or not.
Yeah, I mean, it's being able to, through chemistry, make someone a witch. But, you know, I think we're spending a little too much time on this part. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I will mention that the episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. went directly into the beginning of Age of Ultron.
Okay.
The last 10 minutes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is they figure out where Loki's scepter is.
Okay.
And then Coulson is all, we need to enact the Theta Protocol, which is their fancy term for, we need the Avengers on this one. And then it starts right into the movie. And then at the end of the movie, like this last episode, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., there's a minor part on how the heck did they get the helicarrier when there's no shield.
Right.
So if you need an explanation on why the helicarrier is still working, or they have one just laying around somewhere, you can watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to find out that story. So yeah, I enjoyed the first act a lot, and I also enjoyed the after party, or the celebration party. Now the reason I didn't enjoy Avengers 2 as much as Avengers is I am not as in on Ultron as I am in on Loki.
Okay.
Loki was just cooler. And it seemed like we got to know Loki more than we got to know Ultron.
Well, but that's not fair because, you know, you had Loki in two other movies.
It's true, but I feel like that it's a different Loki in Avengers than there was in the first Thor.
Okay.
I mean, just because we have a Loki that just wants to basically just mess with Thor and become the rightful king of Asgard, which isn't necessarily like his primary goal in Avengers. His primary goal is to, you know, sow discord between all the Avengers, so when the army shows up, that he'll basically just take over the planet.
Right.
And I thought that his interactions and his scenes with the different people, I just loved every line of dialogue that came out of Loki's mouth in Avengers.
Yeah.
And I think there wasn't enough time to get to know the Ultron. That's why I'm really looking forward to the supercut that Joss wanted to do, the 3.5-hour one.
Yes. I will be there on day one.
Yeah. Me too. I really enjoyed Ultron. Jane Spader did a fantastic job. And there was a couple nods that I really had to chuckle to myself. Like, you know, his surprise at, you know, Tony trying to get him to explain his entire plan. You think I'm going to explain my entire plan to you? And he starts shooting.
Yeah. That was good.
Yeah. So it.
Although, I liked a lot of Vision's lines. You know, they kind of just came out of the blue. You know, like the one line when Tony's talking about how Ultron's gonna come after him, and Vision just has to be walking by in the background and goes, "Yeah, he does hate you the most," and just keeps walking right on walking. You know, yeah, he does hate you the most.
Yes, I did enjoy that the Tony's robot army enters through the a-hole in Avengers.
Yeah.
I was laughing to myself because I know Joss did that intentionally.
Okay, let's talk about the fight between Hulk and, was it Vera? No, Vanessa.
I am blanking on this one. Are you talking about the Hulkbuster?
The Hulkbuster. They called it Vanessa.
Oh, they called it Vanessa. Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was something with a V, and I'm pretty sure it was Vanessa.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to keep an eye on that for the next time because I'm definitely going to see it again.
They reference it twice. The first time he's talking to the Hulk and he says, "Do you really want to spend the rest of your life looking over your shoulder for Vanessa?" And then he says it again, and now I've got to look it up to make sure I'm not, it's definitely a name with a V, and I'm positive it was Vanessa.
Okay. Yeah, so apparently according to the IMDb trivia page, that it takes 7 arc reactors to power that Vanessa / Hulkbuster suit.
Nice.
Which is that's a lot of juice flowing around there. No, I enjoyed that whole scene. I think the dialogue that Tony had made that scene for me. Like when he's doing the pneumatic fist on Hulk. Go to sleep. Go to sleep.
Yes. Go to sleep.
Please. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
After he hit him with something. No, that was, oh my gosh. Yeah, I'm gonna miss Joss, even though they're probably in very good hands for the next one, but we'll talk about that later. Let me see, what else do we talk about? Do we need to mention about performances from anybody?
I don't know. I'm trying to think if anybody stood out in particular.
And I thought that Serkis was going to have a bigger role in this movie. But they're basically just setting him up for Claw and Black Panther.
Yeah.
Another reason why I think I like Avengers more than the second one was I think the set design and the production design I enjoyed a lot more than the second one. Just because there's a lot of time on the helicarrier and there's a lot of time in New York. And they just weren't in as cool of places in this fictional, Eastern European town or city or something like that. Even though you got it, that's a pretty good idea about how to kill the entire planet.
Yeah.
Meteor.
Extinction level event. Yeah. Okay, so I found it. Everybody can stop screaming at their podcast listening devices. It is not Vanessa. It's Veronica.
Okay, I feel so much better now.
Yes, now you know. And now the next time you watch it, and when he calls for Veronica, you'll be like, oh yeah, there it is, Veronica.
Okay, then who is Friday?
I don't know who Friday is. Oh, Friday is the new AI he installs after Jarvis gets wrecked.
Right, right, okay.
It's his girl Friday.
Okay, yeah. That's what I thought it would be.
At first I thought when he pulled it up on the screen, it was Friday. I was thinking Friday like Robinson Crusoe. And then she started speaking. It was a female voice. I'm like, oh, it's his girl Friday.
Yeah. I don't know. Now I'm thinking, what else is there to
Well, we can talk about the Vision some more.
Oh, yeah. So what did you think about the whole origin story of Vision?
I liked it. Mm-hmm. I liked it a lot. I thought it was a very plausible, Ultron trying to make this perfect body, and then in the end they're managing to turn that around, and there you have the Vision. And I thought it was interesting, using the Jarvis AI. I thought it was a lot of good things they put together. Him picking up the hammer.
Yeah. Now that whole scene about the hammer was I enjoyed, everyone taking a turn trying to pick it up, and I know that that one came out before that was on YouTube before the movie came out.
Yeah.
But seeing, obviously Cap, budges it a little bit.
Right.
And then Thor's a little worried.
Yeah.
And then later in the movie, Vision just, nonchalantly just picks it up.
Picks it up and hands it to him. Yeah.
And I'm starting to realize that when the chips are down, that the Avengers don't really agree on anything. Or it's not really a group decision. Right. Because the whole reason that Vision came about is because Thor decided to do it because he had a dream.
Right. Well, but really that was a flip-flop because earlier in the movie, he was very upset with Tony for moving ahead with the Ultron program.
Right.
And here he is. Here's Tony doing something again, kind of going off on his own and doing his own thing. And this one he decides to back, because of what he's seen, And so I don't know. I really enjoyed all of the interaction, and the way it went.
I just wonder how much influence there was into the interaction between, Tony and Cap and Thor, considering that, everyone and their sister knows that, they're doing the Civil War story in Captain America 3.
Right, right.
So, the end game, I also enjoyed that. Yeah, I was expecting the helicarrier. That was a cool piece, and
that was very nice.
Some people are just, the amount of time spent on camera about rescuing people is just the difference between this movie and Man of Steel.
Right.
And I don't know if I buy that because it's just a different story. I mean, it's not one's better than the other, but I don't know.
Anything else?
No, I'm just thinking about at the end, are we sold that Hulk has gone rogue?
I think Hulk is just trying to go off the grid. It's something he's done before. Because if you remember in the last, Hulk movie, he had went off and, ran off into the jungle. And that's basically where they picked up when Black Widow went to recruit him. He was living off the grid,
right,
staying out of trouble. You know, that's what he wants to do again. He doesn't want to let the monster out at all.
And I remember being led astray by Entertainment Weekly, because I distinctly remember that they said that Linda Cardellini was going to be a new superhero. And everyone was saying, is she going to be, you know, whoever? But no, she's just Hawkeye's wife.
Right.
So I just need to remember, you know, just because you read it doesn't make it true.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. Or the Hulk being shot off into space.
Right. Hulk being shot off into space. There is, I believe that they shot a scene where Quicksilver lived, just in case it got out.
Gotcha.
Just to cover themselves. I enjoyed it. I'm going to go, you know, obviously I'm going to go see it again.
I'm planning on going to see it again tomorrow in 3D.
Okay. So. Oh, 3D. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to. And just to, unless you had anything else about Avengers, I want to talk about the trailers a little bit.
I had one more point.
Okay, go ahead.
Has to do with right up at the end. What do you think of the lineup at the end?
So the lineup being Scarlet Witch, Falcon.
Scarlet Witch, Vision, Falcon, War Machine, and then Cap and Black Widow.
Yeah. One other thing about the... They cut off Cap before he said Avengers Assemble?
I actually pulled a story on that. And Joss does not want him to ever say that on screen. he actually... There is no footage of him saying assemble because Joss didn't want some executive coming back and having somebody splice it in. So the way it was written was he just says Avengers and it cuts. So he did not say Avengers. They did not cut him off. That was not filmed at all.
Yeah. I don't know exactly what you're asking, but you know, I'm fine with, you know, if this is going to be West Coast Avengers or, you know, Avengers 2,
yeah,
or
B team,
or
what do you think? Yeah, what do you think of the team? What do you think of that lineup? That it doesn't, it's not. You know, I'm not saying, do you think it's good? Do you think it's bad? I just think, you know, what do you think of it?
Yeah, no, if we knew that that's the group in the next Avengers movie, I'd watch it.
Okay,
I'd watch it.
I don't think that'll be the team in the next Avengers movie. I think that will be the Avengers for Civil War.
Okay, well, that will lead into a news story, so let's table that for just a second. Until we get the news. Okay, what I was going to say is that I was shocked and horrified at the positive response to the Pixels trailer.
Oh
my gosh. Everyone was saying, oh, that looks great. Another great Adam Sandler movie.
Okay, wait, are you being sarcastic?
I'm being sarcastic.
Okay, thank God, because that thing looks horrible.
No. I'm being sarcastic. That's a great Adam Sandler movie, but there was a lot of people that were like, yeah, let's go see that, you know, with, you know, Pac-Man on the street and Donkey. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to say about America, and I have a part two to that, but I'm gonna come to that in share time. All right, so the Wankfest of Avengers is now over. So, Art, why don't you tell us about the one movie that's coming out in wide release this weekend?
Okay, the one movie coming up in wide release, it is coming in at 3,003 screens, Hot Pursuit. Oh, man. It is rated 6% on the tomato meter. 64 reviews counted, 4 fresh, 60 rotten. 90% want to see it out of 9,509 users. In Hot Pursuit, an uptight and by-the-book cop, Reese Witherspoon, tries to protect the sexy and outgoing widow, Sofia Vergara, of a drug boss as they race through Texas, pursued by crooked cops and murderous gunmen. Rated PG-13 for sexual content, violence, language, and some drug material. Action-adventure comedy, directed by Ann Fletcher, written by David Feeney and John Quaintance. Also has John Carroll Lynch, Rob Kaczynski, Richard T. Jones, and Michael Mosley. And I only read all of those because there were only 4 more.
Yeah, wow. That is a really low number. And I'm scanning through some of the reviews, and They do not have nice things to say.
Oh, hit me up. You got a good one?
Okay, let's start with Betsy Sharkey from the LA Times. So bad you think it was directed by the worst worst sort of male chauvinist director.
And it's directed by a woman.
Right, pretty much. A.O. Scott from New York Times. We are in the midst of a comedy boom, and within it, an explosion of feminist and woman-driven humor, but the news has apparently not reached Warner Brothers headquarters. Nope, that's not the one I was going to read. Oh, Max Nicholson from the powerhouse IGN Movies. Gratingly vapid and wholly unoriginal. Ty Burr from the Boston Globe. In the pro forma end credit outtakes, we see the stars muff their lines, mug for the camera, and generally have a good time. It's nice that someone does.
This does not look good. I was talking with Tony, and he was like, this could be the movie that ends Sofia Vergara's career. I said, no, I don't think so. But that's probably a pretty good statement. Funny nonetheless. Right.
So I got a follow-up question for you.
Yes.
When did Reese Witherspoon become a movie star?
Oh, Legally Blonde?
Yeah, you know, I was trying to think of this because I know that Big Boss Man of Backseat Producers is not a fan.
No.
And okay, so just going by movies that are rated fresh by your filmography on Rotten Tomatoes, Man in the Moon, 89%. That was 1991. But she was very young. Freeway, 76%. Pleasantville, 85%. I'd almost say Election, 92%.
No.
Election was a very good movie that she was in. Right after that was American Psycho, 67%, and then Legally Blonde, 68%. That was 2001. And her other non-rottens are Walk the Line, 82%. June Carter. Water for Elephants, and then Mud. She was a producer on Gone Girl, and then we're into her recent kind of thing. But, you know, I don't think that she's been that in a clear-cut breakout performance other than probably Legally Blonde. But then she's, you know, that's not necessarily...
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to say 100% redeeming character, but she's been in probably 40 movies, I guess.
List here on pulls up 29 on Box Office Mojo.
Yeah. All right. All right. So, that is, the end of the one movie that's coming out in wide release. And so now, we can get the share time. Art, why don't you, start us off with share time?
Okay. So in case anybody missed it in the beginning, I watched Age of Ultron, and I really, really liked it. No.
Okay.
I have been watching Royal Pains. Have you ever seen this?
It's about the, that's about the doctor?
The concierge doctor in what is it, Martha's Vineyard? Or
I haven't watched it, but I know who's in it.
Yeah. I had watched bits and pieces of it before when it was originally running on USA. During the USA heyday when they had on like five different shows that I thought were all really awesome. But then I stopped watching it. Well, now it's on Netflix, like I think six seasons of it. So we've started going through that, watching it together. And I'm really still enjoying it, even going back, you know, to when it was started. What was that, in 2009 at this point? It's a lot of fun. It's a good show, good actors, really enjoying it. And then I've been watching this other show. Actually, I've been watching this for some time, and I don't know that I ever mentioned it, but I'm really enjoying it. I just got caught up on it. Star versus the Forces of Evil. Have I mentioned this?
No.
It's an animated show, and it's about this princess who, upon her 14th birthday... 15, 16, somewhere in there. She's in high school. So she inherits her magic wand from her mother and proceeds to burn down a lot of the kingdom because she can't handle the power. So they send her to Earth to learn to wield her power and to, you know, get her out of her kingdom. And she basically becomes a foreign exchange student to this boy. And it's got this really just very clever sense of humor, the way it looks at the world. Aubrey just loves it. And a lot of the jokes go right over her head. But I'm really enjoying it. It's only like maybe 6 or 7 episodes in. And it's one of my favorite shows to sit down and watch with Aubrey.
Now, can I get the title one more time?
Star versus the Forces of Evil.
And how are you watching it?
I recorded on DVR because it's playing on Disney or Nickelodeon.
Okay.
And that's all I watched over the past week.
All right, hold on. I'm writing down Nickelodeon. Okay. All right. I've been busy this last week. And by busy, I mean I've been busy watching movies and TV.
Oh, nice.
And just because it ties in the tad a little bit, I'm going to talk about the one show that I've been watching, Silicon Valley. Now, it's currently in its second season on HBO. And I DVR'd the first season, so I've gotten through the first 3 episodes. And considering I'm a computer science major, I am probably apt to like the subject matter in this show. And it's about this guy who kind of created this thing that is a game changer as far as compression of files over the internet. And it's going to completely change how everyone uses computers. Just that, you know, you're going to be able to get video a lot faster and all this other stuff. And so it's basically about he works at Google and Google tries to buy it and he decides to take the company on his own. Thank you for that. I stopped just to see, is there an apocalypse happening in Chicago right now or,
no.
Okay. I just want to make sure for listeners out there, Art just sent me a little quick Skype message, and I just want to make sure everything's okay. All right, and everything's fine. So on with the show. So yes, Silicon Valley, and there's a part in the show where T.J. Miller is kind of the big brother of these group of programmers that are trying to figure out how they're gonna start their company kind of thing. And the name of the company is called Pied Piper, which everybody hates. But the guy who created the thing is pretty much the CEO, so we're going to call it Pied Piper. And T.J. Miller's character is like, this sucks. I'm going to figure out with the new name. So he basically takes a box of mushrooms and is going to drive out to, you guessed it, the Sonoran Desert to figure out. So he basically just does a one-man vision quest on a lot of pharmaceuticals or hallucinogenics, and at one point he wants to name it Technologesus. but obviously that's not the name that he came up with. So I had to laugh because he said, I'm going to the Sonoran Desert, I'll be back. And he gets 5 minutes in and he's stuck on the freeway. So he just does it on the freeway for the most part.
Okay, and now here's the real kicker, though. We put the big, giant, huge spoiler warning at the beginning. Ted may or may not have seen Avengers. He may not listen to this for who knows how long.
He'll listen to it eventually.
Yes,
or he might not care. He might not care.
Or he might not care.
I guess
we'll find out next.
So I'm enjoying Silicon Valley, and they did eight episodes the first season. So, I'm laughing every episode, so I'm loving it. So good job, Mike Judge. Okay, so that's it for TV. I think I've gotten one episode further on Daredevil. It seems like I've had a lot of lunch dates this week, so I've been watching it at lunch at work because it's getting kind of problematic at home to watch it, and it just looks better at work. So I'll do it that way. Okay. So, speaking of Sofia Vergara, the first movie for my share time is Chasing Poppy. Now, this is a movie that has Sofia Vergara, Rosalind Sanchez, and I think J.C. Velasquez as three women that are dating the same guy.
Yeah, this was very relatively early in her career, wasn't it?
Yes, I think so. I think this was before she got on Modern Family.
Yeah, I remember this.
Because I think there's definitely a, I don't want to say a Telemundo influence, but maybe a Latin influence on this movie, because there's a lot of, you know, it's just a crazy comedy kind of thing. When I first started watching it, I was kind of thinking, is this what The Other Woman is like? Because The Other Woman is kind of the same, you know, same kind of movie where, you know, that movie with Cameron Diaz, I don't remember, right, that one girl, and then Kate Upton kind of thing. But one of them's married to the guy. This is just, they're all dating the guy at the same time, and they kind of, you know, meet each other, and they're all mad in the beginning, and the sensible one says, he doesn't deserve any of us, let's all promise to never see him again, and then about an hour later, they all find themselves back at his house again, kind of thing.
Yep.
And then there's this minor crime story plot where at the end of it, they kind of, to escape the criminals and the police, they kind of have to salsa dance. You're going to have to watch the movie to understand what I'm talking about. But the archetypes are, there's one that's a lawyer who's kind of the smart one. And then there's Sofia Vergara is kind of like the extrovert, outgoing one.
Okay.
And the younger one plays the spoiled brat kind of, who has to carry her dog around and everything.
Right.
So
right.
It's
very
a,
much.
Go ahead.
What was the movie with Shelley Long and Bette Midler where they were both
same guy?
I know
which one you're talking about.
And they were very much opposites. And so these women are like all from different spectrums. Cause at one point they have a conversation. What does he see in you? He likes me. Why does he like you? And so it kind of has it resonates with that for me.
Yeah, and there's definitely those kind of scenes in this movie also.
Right.
But to be honest, this is kind of light fare as far as a movie. I mean, it was somewhat entertaining, but I'm not going to lie. I watched this movie just for the eye candy.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, so I enjoyed it, but just don't expect too much. All right, now after Avengers, we ducked into another theater because my son is dying to see this other movie that was in the theater. So we caught, I think, 3/4 of Paul Blart 2 Mall Cop.
Okay.
He loved it. I tried to stay awake through most of it. It's just, it's just the awkward humor just rubs me the wrong way. And there's a part in the movie where he's crying because he's alone. He doesn't have anyone. We're lucky that we missed the part in the beginning where his mom gets run over by a milk truck. So, I mean, it's mostly the same things that happen in the first movie happen in the second movie. The guy who played Dum Dum Dugan in Agent Carter,
right?
He's the main villain in this movie.
Okay.
So I was a little disappointed by that. I thought he'd be in a better movie. But you know, there are some laughs to be had. But I was kind of glad it was over. And when the movie ended, the capacity crowd of 14 people other than me were clapping at the end. And I was just like, oh my gosh, these are the same people. Did the people that liked the Pixels trailer follow me in here? So I was, oh my gosh. Okay. All right. I have two more movies to talk about. And this other movie, The Illusionist, was a movie that I had. I think I might be one of the few people that still have the DVD service through Netflix. And so I've had Illusionist for like 6 weeks.
Okay.
And the whole reason that I got it was, well, there's actually two reasons. The first reason was my daughter, one of her dance numbers is to the music in Illusionist. And the second was, if I'm going to watch The Prestige, I feel like I have to watch The Illusionist.
Okay.
And I enjoyed The Illusionist, even though there's getting to be a problem with watching movies about magicians. And the problem is that in the plot, there's going to be a magic trick. You just have to figure it out where it is. And it was this movie, the twist, I think, was pretty easy to figure out. Edward Norton was good as usual. And I love Paul Giamatti. And Paul Giamatti is the character that kind of, you know, he's kind of the audience avatar because he's trying to figure out what's exactly going on.
Right.
But there, I definitely enjoyed it. But kind of like Chasing Poppy, it, you know, I thought it was going to be a little more engrossing, or might be a little more mystery. I don't know. I enjoyed it, but don't go out of your way to, you know, to track it down. I think I definitely liked The Prestige better than this one. There might have been a better cast between Christian Bale and Hugh Jackman.
Right. Paul Giamatti is like, I'm either hot or cold on him. There is no middle of the road. Either I absolutely love him or I absolutely can't stand him. And I don't know what it is. You know, I'm not sure.
He's not really the greatest hero in some of these movies. I think some of my favorite performances of Giamatti is Sideways.
I still haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I own it.
Sideways, and then another independent movie, Win-Win.
Don't know that one.
Where he ends up being a wrestling coach to this kid, to this abused kid. He starts out in the movie being a very unsavory character, and he kind of redeems himself a little bit.
Right.
So I enjoyed, but I don't think that there's a movie that where I've seen Giamatti and I haven't liked him.
Did you see what was it? The Shooter with Clive Owen. I believe it was called The Shooter.
No,
Giamatti's the villain.
No, I think you're talking about Shoot 'Em Up.
Shoot 'Em Up. Yeah. That's the one.
Yeah, I enjoyed him in Shoot 'Em Up too.
Okay, that's fine. They're to each his own. We're not friends anymore.
Okay, that's fine, Art. We'll just stop right here. By the way, have you seen Interstellar yet?
I have not.
Okay, that's why you're not friends anymore. Okay. I'm gonna have to get Tony on that. Okay. The last movie is Mockingjay Part 1. This is a movie that I bought my daughter for Christmas because she's a big Hunger Games fan, and so we finally got around to watching it. And it kind of felt like the very first Harry Potter Deathly Hallows one, that there wasn't a whole lot going on. We know it's going to set up the second movie, and you know they got to put a cliffhanger at the end, and you know all these things happened. And just for the sake of argument, I went to Wikipedia to find out what the entire storyline was for Mockingjay Part 1 and Part 2. And what happens in the first movie is the first two paragraphs of the book, The Mockingjay.
Nice.
So there's a whole bunch of filler in this movie. But I think it's still worth watching. And there are some good performances. I mean, Julianne Moore as the president of the, I guess, the Rebels.
Interesting.
She's good. But I'll be interested to see, you know, how it ends. So, you know, it was good, but don't, you know, just like other movies, don't rush out for Mockingjay Part 1.
Okay. So, speaking of Mockingjay, I just came to a realization this week, and I haven't done the internet searching to see if anybody else has thought about this. Okay. Can you whistle the Hunger Games little Mockingjay whistle?
Yes.
Okay. Do it for me. Okay. Now, can you whistle the Close Encounters tune?
No. I could try. I'm trying to think of Close Encounters?
Close Encounters. No, wait. It's...
Yeah, that's close. That's
one
close.
Extra note in it.
Right.
I was sitting there, and I was just whistling, and I don't know why. I think I heard a bird whistling, and it started doing the Mockingjay thing. And I'm just doing it on my route over and over again. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, that sounds just like Close Encounters. So I haven't gone on the internet and seen if anybody's actually done like a side-by-side, what are these notes? Because I'm not that musical. But I hear it now, and I can't unhear it.
Well, here's something that's funny. In Silicon Valley, the website that the guy creates, where he ends up coming up with the brand new compression algorithm, his website is, if you have a piece of original music, you can upload it, and his algorithm will tell you if anyone has written that already.
Oh, nice.
So you could upload Mockingjay and compare it to Close Encounters, and it'll tell you how close it is.
Nice.
Yeah, so you just need to put yourself in Silicon Valley and you can figure that
absolutely.
Out. Yeah. All right. So that ends my winding road of share time. So now, Art, let's get to news. What do you got?
Okay. Well, speaking with all the talking that we did about Silicon Valley, I found this and I thought it was kind of funny. Deadpool's TJ Miller knows exactly how to answer comic book questions in interviews. So in case you hadn't heard, TJ Miller is playing the lead character's frequently abused sidekick, Weasel. He was recently interviewed, and this is how he answered a question about this character. We're seeing how this character is coming about, where he comes from, but also where he's going to go. Ryan Reynolds does things in the film. Sometimes he doesn't do anything at all. I do some things in the film sometimes, and sometimes I'm not even in the movie. It's a great film, as you can tell. So you talk about how funny this guy is on the show. I haven't seen it, but it makes me want to see more of this guy, just hearing the way he's, you know, just double talking and just, you know, avoiding spoilers, not letting them get anything really out of him, and just having fun with it. And I just thought that was really funny.
Scuba Dave and I share a love for TJ Miller. He has his own podcast with a partner, and you know he's out there. I'm not going to make any bones about it. He's out there, and I don't know if it's the frequent use of marijuana or whatever other stuff that he does. But I just enjoy his persona, and I think I'd watch anything that he's in. With the exception of Transformers, even though I heard, spoiler alert, he got killed pretty early in the last Transformers.
I didn't even see it. So.
But you know,
I haven't seen the last two Transformers.
See that again?
I haven't seen the last
two. Oh, you haven't seen that? Yeah. Well, me neither. All right. I have TV news, and I'm going to talk about it after. All right. So one of my family's favorite shows got canceled. ABC is not bringing back Cristela anymore.
Oh.
And everyone that I've talked to, and they just happen to be a lot of Hispanic or come from a Latin descent, said they love it because they relate to it so much.
Right.
But sadly, ABC is not bringing it back. They said that they are not bringing back Forever and Resurrection, which made it two seasons, and a show that sometimes we watch during lunch, The Taste, that I think it was on at noon.
Right.
Was that Taste? No, I might be thinking the wrong thing. But that's the bad news. Here's the great news. Guess what's coming back for season two next season?
No clue. Hit me.
Agent Carter.
Nice.
Now, it's not really that big of news because, you know, considering that Marvel is running roughshod over almost every media outlet, you know, you kind of have to think that they would bring it back. But I do have a homework assignment for you, Art.
Okay.
The next time that you're watching Avengers, in the big battle scene in New York, and Captain America is talking to that cop that comes out of the police car with that hat that barely fits his head.
Right.
The guy next to him, I think, was the guy on the crutches in Agent Carter.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the reason I figured this out is because we did a lot of driving last Saturday, and I think my son and I, we watched Avengers three times in a row.
Okay.
Well, between Saturday and Sunday. So, but I'm pretty sure it's him, but I'd welcome your opinion. All right. So that's my ABC TV news for now. So, Art, what do you have next?
Okay, so next. Nothing really fills into that, so I'm going to go with this. Chris Evans started Marvel's Civil War last night on Twitter. Okay, so the Chris Evans and the guy Frank Grillo, who's going to be playing Crossbones, Chris Evans has 2.22 million followers on Twitter. And he was just, you know, throwing some positivity out into the universe. And Chris Evans says, "Don't underestimate the benefit of awe. Take time to be amazed by things, by anything, by everything." Frank Grillo responded to that tweet, I'm amazed at the ass whooping you've got coming. And he signed it X at the end. So they go back and forth a little bit. Chris Evans says, I'm amazed you can read. Be honest. Your kids are helping you sound out the words. And Frank comes back with, I can read the hospital report for you after you wake up from that little snooze you're going to take, hero boy. So they're at it, you know, just going at it, having fun with it. And I just really enjoy when people do this kind of thing and just, you know, really get into it. It just gets me more excited for Captain America and Civil War.
All right, so let's pile on that sentiment. Marvel Studios begins production on Marvel's Captain America, Coleman, Civil War. And so, just so you know, it's coming out May 6, 2016. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. There is a crap load of people in this movie.
Well, yeah, there's got to be.
All right. Well, okay. So we have Chris Evans, obviously Captain America. We have Tony Stark. I'm sorry, not Tony Stark. You know, that's funny. Robert Downey Jr. coming back as Tony Stark. You have Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow. You have Sebastian Stan, who's going to play Winter Soldier. You have Anthony Mackie, who's going to be Falcon. Paul Bettany is going to be Vision. Jeremy Renner will be Hawkeye. Cheadle will be War Machine. Elizabeth Olsen will be Wanda Maximoff / Scarlet Witch. So you have those people. But I'm only about two-thirds of the way done. We're also going to be having Chadwick Boseman, who will be Black Panther. Emily Van Camp will be coming back as Sharon Carter / Agent 13. Daniel Brühl, who I'm really excited about, is going to be playing Baron Zemo. Ooh. Frank Grillo, we've already covered that he's Crossbones. William Hurt is going to be coming back as General Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross. And they also are announcing that Martin Freeman is in this next movie. But people are saying, why is Martin Freeman going to be in this movie? Well, there is a rumor being floated out by Latina Review that Freeman is going to be a villain in the Black Panther movie.
Oh, okay.
It says Everett K. Ross. As an expert on Wakandan questions, Everett Ross is often asked for advice working along government officials in the NSA. When Ulysses Klaue launches an invasion of Wakanda, Ross was sent to counsel the Special Forces in order to help the very Special Forces, and parentheses at zombies, to enter the country. So he's kind of more, I guess from the comics, a comic relief kind of character, but he can definitely pull that off. But yeah, so obviously... you know, Ant-Man's in the can, but, you know, the Marvel factory never stops. And apparently the writing team that had written all of the Captain Americas will be writing the, part one and part two of Infinity War.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. Okay. Update. Enver Jokaj, mm-hmm. the guy who played, Daniel Souza mm-hmm. was credited in the Avengers okay. as young cop.
Okay.
So there you go. Your eagle eye spotted him.
Okay, good. Good, because I totally didn't look that up. Okay. What do you have for news, Art?
Okay. So, I can cut. Just briefly, we talked also briefly about the Hulk not ending up in space. And the... what Joss originally wanted to do was kind of leave it ambiguous. Mm-hmm. You know, when he was going off into the sky, they had a different clip of that where, you know, he was kind of angling up and the air was thinning and stars could be seen, but he was still, you know, he's in a jet and he's kind of going along. So he just wanted it to be more ambiguous and more poetic is what he was kind of going for. So I just thought that was interesting. He just wanted to leave it more ambivalent. But in the end, the powers that be said no. So we'll see where the Hulk ends up.
All right. So to continue the Avengers-a-rama, I have two stories kind of related. Joss Whedon on fighting with Marvel over Avengers Age of Ultron. It got really, really unpleasant. The director reveals that he wanted to include Spider-Man in the film, but to no avail. And actually, he also wanted to put Captain Marvel in, but they don't even have her cast yet. So they could have, but they relented. But yeah, he had a couple big fights over Hawkeye and the farmhouse.
Okay.
Which the Marvel people weren't in love with. And it says, on the other hand, the studio was quite adamant about the segment involving Eric joining Thor in a cave. Eric being,
Skarsgård.
Yeah, Skarsgård. I was trying to remember the character name.
Oh, nope. Dr. something. Got nothing.
Yeah. Selvig, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
you just mentioned, what did you just mention? I just blanked. I had something I wanted to say.
The cave or the farmhouse?
No. That sucks. I lost a train of thought.
And then the other bit is that critics, after seeing Age of Ultron, are now saying that superheroes are ruining Hollywood.
No. What? No.
That it's too much and it's ruining Hollywood. And so what did Kevin Feige say to that? He said, if that's true, I think I'm in pretty good company, because the same critics, or not the same critics, but probably their mothers and fathers, were saying that George Lucas is ruining Hollywood. Steven Spielberg is ruining Hollywood.
Yeah.
So they're in pretty, I feel good about being in the company of those two other filmmakers.
Absolutely.
So, okay. All right, Art, what do you got left?
Okay. I've never heard of this. But they're talking about popular graphic novel Infinite Horizon is getting an adaptation. Warner Brothers is hard at work building the DC Cinematic Universe, blah, 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 blah. But it's been announced studio now has plans to adapt the popular Image comic graphic novel, The Infinite Horizon. It is Infinite Horizon, what they're saying here, is inspired by Homer's The Odyssey, which is funny because there is another Odyssey project in the works. O Brother, Where Art Thou? Is inspired by The Odyssey, so it's just funny that so much inspiration is coming from this one work.
Yeah,
I have never heard of this Infinite Horizon. I was very, very into Image for a while, so I'm going to have to look at this and see if I can dig it up and get some more information. So, but I'm always interested to see more comic book movies coming to the screen. I don't care what people say.
Memo to the movie studios. It is so hard to keep track of all the movies that Marvel and DC are doing that if we start bringing in Image and Dark Horse, I'm throwing the white flag. I mean, and, you know, in addition to that, if they start making movies out of Archie Comics, which is my son's favorite comic book company, just because of he loves Mega Man and Sonic the Hedgehog, I might have to give up.
Okay, wait. Being as you just brought up Archie Comics,
mm-hmm.
When I chased down the story for the name of the Hulkbuster armor, the nickname that Tony Stark gave it,
mm-hmm.
The reason Joss picked Veronica is because the Hulk used to be interested in a girl named Betty. And who's the opposite of Betty?
Right.
Veronica.
Right. Wow. Tying that all together. Good job, Art.
Oh, I'm all right. Trying hard here.
And then my last blurbet is about, the heading is Marvel Netflix. Speaking to Howard Stern, Ryan Philippe, I hope I said his name right, has confirmed that he's in talks to play a role in a Marvel project for Netflix. Current speculation pegs him as a potential candidate for the role of Iron Fist.
Ooh.
I don't know if I like him as Iron Fist.
All right. Well, we'll see.
But considering I never read the book.
Right.
So what do I know?
The most information I have on Iron Fist is watching the new Ultimate Spider-Man.
Right.
Because he features in that pretty prominently. Because I've never really followed Iron Fist.
All right. I think that ends the news. And by extension, that ends the show. So everybody, thank you for downloading and listening this episode of Backseat Box Office. And we hope you liked what you heard. If you don't like what you heard, or if, you know, no, scratch that. I only want to hear about positive things. because I'm getting sick of my favorite people quitting Twitter because they're getting death threats about how they about how they handled Quicksilver in a movie.
Oh, geez.
So I'm tired of internet trolls. Not that I've ever dealt with one in hand to hand personally, but I do not like people being mean to Joss. So with that being said, thank you for everyone for listening for this episode of Backseat Box Office, and this is the part of the show where Jeff repeats himself. Art, what do you have to say?
Go watch a movie, then come tell us about it.
Yes, and it doesn't have to be Avengers, but it should be.
Yes. It doesn't have to be, but it should be. I like that.
And Art, go watch Interstellar.
Okay. Good night.
All right. Good night, everybody. And we'll catch you next time.